Well, praise the Lord for all that He's done and is doing, and we'll work our way through the difficulties and trust God for all of it. So I'll stay right here and preach to you a little bit from Galatians. We're looking at Galatians chapter number 3. We'll take another section of Scripture. We're looking at verses 10 through 14. So if you find your place in Galatians 3, we'll look there. While you're finding your place there in Galatians, I did hear the story about this little Midwest town. Had a lady who was the oldest living member of their little, just a little small little burg, little town, and she was the oldest resident in town, and so she finally died, and they thought that they ought to do something for her just because she was so renowned. She had never married, and so she was just a help to different folks, never got in any trouble, and the local paper was going to print the obituary with the help of the funeral director, but really couldn't think of anything significant. She never got in any trouble, but she also never did anything outstanding. She was just always a fixture there. And so the editor went down and ran into somebody else at the local cafe and said, "Well, do you know anything?" The funeral director said, "Well, I'm still having trouble trying to figure out the obituary as well." And so the editor thought, "Well, I'm just going to go back to the newspaper and one of the writers there, they can come up with something." So he walked in the door. First person he saw was the sports editor. And he said, "Well, we need something for Miss Nancy Jones. We've got to have an obituary. We want to put it on our tombstone. We want to put it in the paper and all that." And so the news reporter or the sports reporter thought, "Well, I'll do the best I can." And so I hear tell, it's a true story, I don't know, but somewhere in the Midwest, there's a tombstone that said, "Here lies the bones of Nancy Jones. For her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid. She died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors." So I don't know that you want to be that lady, but that was what they said happened to her. So, well, the curse is gone, praise the Lord. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says, verse number 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." How do you know it's evident? "Because for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." So we get that in just a little bit. You got to be careful what you wish for. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." We'll preach on those five verses or so, and trusting the Lord to bless us in this evening time that we have together. Father, be with us now. Bless us to overcome all of the technical difficulties that we have. Help us to listen, dear Lord, I pray, and may you move on our hearts in a very special way, we ask, and we'll thank you for what you do and what you give us in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the old Andy Griffith shows has Andy saving the life of Gomer. And after he saves the life of Gomer, Gomer is indebted to him, and he pledged his devotion to Andy's protection because of what he had done. Well, I know all those are just shows, and they're not really that important, but I tell you one thing, that we ought to live our lives in such a devoted way because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're not working to get saved. We're not working to try to earn His love. We're not trying to work to get into heaven one of these days, but thank God for grace and thank Him for the fact that He took upon Himself the sin that was deserving to go to you and I. And so as we look through this, I'm going to show us just how bad we are. The Bible says in verse number 10 and 11, if you're taking notes, we were cursed. Look at the end of verse number 10. The Bible says that in all things are written that the works of the law are under the curse. As many are under the works of the law are under the curse. The Bible says the law was not to be necessarily done away with. Christ fulfilled that law. He didn't push it aside. But what the law does is shows us all of our sins and shows us that we have a need. Now, let me tell you, remind us all again, there's something that we need in our nation and in our world, and that is to be brought face to face again with just who we are. In our society, it's very uncommon to call out any behavior as wrong, as inappropriate, or even sinful. We don't want to say those things. We just want to say, well, that's different. That's an alternative lifestyle. That's another way to see it. And many times folks would wish that we would just give them the same airtime, but now we see lifestyles that come out, and where they used to want acknowledged, now they want preferred above what the Bible considers the, or not considers, but what the Bible commands as the right. But I'm saying this evening that we were cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law. We want to be careful when we want to start listing our accomplishments. Now, we're all human in here, of course, and we like to start talking about what we've done. Well, I am a teacher, I am a helper, I am a usher, I am a deacon, I am a pastor, I am a this, I am a that. And sometimes we all like positions, but remember this, we start listing our accomplishments, then we're going to also have to start listing our deficiencies. It's not fair to say, look at all I've done over here, without saying, look at all I've done on this side. In Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are given, no other gods, the Bible says. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. When you connect some of those Old Testament passages with a New Testament passage, that committing adultery, for instance, in Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust hath committed adultery already in his heart. And so we understand that the law that was given was impossible to maintain. It wasn't given so you could make it by keeping it. It was given to show you and I how it's impossible in ourselves to attain salvation. And so there's only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that maintained the law. We were cursed. You've heard that saying before, you get more than you bargain for. Well, if we want to start judging people by the law, we want to start getting people for what they really deserve, be careful, because that comes back around and bites you pretty hard on the return trip. You've heard the saying, I just want justice. I just want justice to be done. Careful now. Because if we truly got justice, you understand that your sins and my sins would have to be paid for. And thank God Jesus Christ did pay for them, and that's the way we can have justice. But when people say, I just want to see justice served, I'm a whole lot more likely to love that word, mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserved. My brother, my oldest brother, who's a trooper, he used to hold me down and torture me. That's why we call it torture chambers. Hold me down, and he'd make me cry, mercy. I said, I ain't going to do it. He said, well, he keep beating on me. I ain't going to do it. But eventually, if I wanted to live, I had to cry, mercy, mercy. Some of you cried, uncle, same thing. Well, we had mercy from the Lord, and we were cursed. If you look at verse number 10 and verse number 11, the Bible says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's a strange thing that everybody in this room that's a saved individual tonight, you knew when you got saved there was no hope of you getting justified by your own merits, so you came to faith in Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me, though, that sometimes after we got saved, now that we are saved, we look down so much on people that aren't saved or not as, they're as saved as you are, but not living maybe as good as you are, and we start looking at them and say, how terrible. Can I remind you, folks, we were all terrible. And can I say that we're not any prizes now? Except the fact that God looks at us, God the Father looks at us through the lens of Jesus Christ, His Son, and I'm justified because of what Jesus Christ did. Let's not be in church so long to where you get so churchy that you start looking down your nose at somebody else who's out of the church or in the church, and you start saying, oh my goodness, how terrible. Maybe so. But remember that we were all cursed, as the Bible says. No man is justified. But I want you to see in verse 13 that not only were we cursed, but our curse was taken. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I love that next phrase, being made a curse for us. And I don't think that we're going to understand this tonight. The Bible says, for scarcely will for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, some of you have taken the heat for somebody, haven't you? You took up for somebody. You didn't want them to get in trouble, so you just let the blame fall on you. But let's not forget, you got out of a whole lot more trouble than you got in. It's like that one dad that said, well, when he found out that he had disciplined his son for something he didn't do, and his dad said, well, I'm not too worried about it because I think there's a lot of times I didn't catch you and you just deserve it anyways. So for you and I to look and say, well, I've taken the heat for something I didn't do, but you did it for somebody you love. You took the beating, you took the cursing, you took the whatever it was for a friend, maybe a sibling. But that was somebody you loved. And then that was you taking the blame for something when that's just one more on the list. You've got plenty of other things that you really did. But we're not talking about you or me that have already had plenty of sins. We're talking about the lovely Son of God who never sinned. He never did what he wasn't supposed to do, never thought what he wasn't supposed to think, never went where he wasn't supposed to go. He never sinned. He was perfect, holy, sinless, the Bible says. And that's the one, the Bible says, that became sin for us. No wonder when Christ was about to go to the cross, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't believe it was the beating. It wasn't the scourging. It wasn't all of that. I don't believe it was that. I believe that he knew as he was going to accept all of the sin and the wretchedness of the world. Because remember, he knows he is God, was God all along. He knew that that would cause a breach of fellowship for the very first time in all of eternity. Why? Because of what it says in verse 12, or in verse 13. He became a curse for us. See, you and I think about like, well, he took one for the team. He took one for us. But he never lost his deity. But all of the sins of the world were put to his account. So us that are up there in verse number 10 and 11, we were the cursed ones. But then our curse was taken. You hear about people taking a rap for something. Well, I did that. But nothing like the Savior. Think with me for a minute. Let's do a mental exercise. Don't holler it out. But the vilest sin that you can think of. The first thing that my mind goes to is somebody who would offend a little one in a physical way. That's what my mind goes to. I don't know where your mind goes to the most wicked sin. Maybe an abuser of some kind, a murderer or whatnot, sex offender. Do you understand? Because the Scripture says that he tasted death, he tasted that sin for every man, that God the Son paid for the sins of the world. And the things that I would never mention in mixed company, maybe not even single company, that just turn our stomachs, God the Son. It says in verse 13, he would be made a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. One of the reasons why the Jews did not accept Christ as their Savior, because it was known through the scriptural proclamations, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so how could that be the Messiah? He was not only a failure, he was a cursed failure in their eyes. And so that's what the Savior went through for us. And I don't think we've gotten it. I really don't. Because you are looking back right now, we ought to be at the most wicked thought that we would never even tell our closest friend that's ever come across my mind or yours. My Savior became sin for us. He that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We not only had our sins forgiven, but then we had his righteousness imputed, put into us, onto our account. Now we see in verse number 14, as we hasten on through, that the blessing is open to all. The Bible says in the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me remind you that God always has, and He still does, love Israel. They're His chosen people. It ought to thrill us every time that we see Israel getting a break in the news, although they don't get very many. You ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as we see that, we understand that God's got a special place in His heart for Israel, for the Jewish individuals, the Jewish nation. And here we see in verse number 14 that blessings of Abraham that God promised from the Old Testament, we didn't replace the Jews. We're not the new Jews, but we are grafted in. We are able to come into those blessings because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And as Abraham was told in Genesis 12, verse number 3, I will bless them that bless thee. We realize that Israel is God's chosen. And then God says we get to be blessed with them. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 talks about us getting grafted in. People right here in this room have had children that you've adopted. And it's such a sobering time when you're in those final court appearances. And people in my family have done it as well. But it's a sobering time when you're in that courtroom for the final appearances. And they are driving it home on you how this child has nothing in the past. Now that passes with you. They are yours. You are theirs. They've got legal rights just like you've got legal rights, but they've got legal rights as your children. And that's what God says about us. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So praise the Lord this evening. The curse is gone through Jesus Christ. And I'm just overwhelmed, and I don't think I've done a good enough job presenting it, but I'm overwhelmed with the fact that Jesus Christ took on sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The Bible says for us, if we choose not to take the righteousness of Christ and allow Him to put it on our account, then we're responsible for keeping the whole law. James chapter 2, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So for that person that says, I'm cleaning up my life, it's not possible, but if you cleaned it up to the point of tonight, from here on out till death, you didn't do another infraction. Not possible, but let's say for a moment it was. Then what do you do? The God that sits outside of time and eternity, that looks at your life as a whole, what do you do about all those things up till tonight? The wages of sin is still death for those ones you've already done or those ones you're going to do. And the Scripture says it's not going to be good enough if you say, I got close. Some people that say that, well, if one sin's just as bad as another, well, I'm sure that somebody that lost a loved one or lost a family member because some maniac killed them would beg to differ that. But where that thinking comes from is that one sin, big or small, if we look at them like that, is enough to keep somebody out of heaven. That's where this comes from in James chapter 2. If you offend in one point, then the weight of the whole law comes down on you. So that means if my neighbor, who has lived a good life in the eyes of the world, and then somebody down here who's lived the most wretched life that you and I can think of, even though one has come closer to living a good life than the other, both of them have missed the mark of perfection. And both of them are cursed because if they haven't done it all, they haven't done it at all. So I'm thanking God tonight that the curse was taken. So my invitation is twofold. One, if you're a Christian in here tonight, would you do some meditating on the beautiful fact of what Jesus Christ took on in your place? As I said, you were no prize, and neither was I. We're not a prize now. God didn't come to us and say, like some songs, some even religious songs say, that, wow, God looked down and he saw that you were going to be a good investment. Folks, you weren't a good investment then. We're not a good investment now. And we aren't going to get to be a good investment. I'm going to heaven tonight because God loved me in his mercy before. He loved me and saved me. And now he loves me and he keeps me because of his goodness, not mine. Amen. So if you're here tonight, I'm challenging you to think about your life. What did God have to take, Jesus Christ, God the Son, have to take in your place? Let's forget about everybody else. We always go to the murderers and the rapists and all of those things and think how terrible. Yes, that was bad. But I don't have to go that far to get a sickening amount of sin. I just have to look at what I've done in my life. And I'm so humbled that he was made a curse for us. That's the first part of the invitation. The second part of the invitation is, matters not if you're a church member, a church attender, or just happen to be here for the first time. I think you've heard enough from this message to know that in yourself, you will never be able to stand before God and say, I deserve to come into your heaven. You'll have to say that because of my life, good as the world might have called it, but because of my life, I'm unfit for heaven. Because I said, if you don't do it all, you're not doing it at all. And if you're here tonight, regardless of whether you're a church member, a church goer, again, or just guest with us for the very first time in your life, I hope that you see it clear today that there's only one way a person can make it to heaven, and that's by having their sins taken by Jesus Christ and his righteousness put in their place. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that you would help every person in this room to make a decision. Lord, I don't believe that some of us do. I believe all of us do. Lord, I pray if there's somebody in here and they've never received Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, that it is dawning on them, it's hitting hard on them, that if their righteousness is what they're counting on to get them to heaven, then they'll miss it for sure and go to a Christless hell. I pray that they would get saved. And then, dear Lord, I pray for some of the Christians that are sitting in front of me that it's been a long time since they've just relished in how blessed it is to be saved and how wonderful the Savior is to have died for my sins in my place. Lord, I pray that you'd work on us tonight in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with us if you're able to? And if God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, Brother Daniel will be right in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. As the ladies play something through, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're one of those highbrow Christians that we're starting to look down our nose at somebody else because of how bad they are. Listen, folks, you got plenty in your backyard that you don't want to be broadcast over this big screen up here behind me either. Let's just thank God for the grace. Let's thank Jesus Christ that he took our sins. He took our curse. Ridiculed and mocked for your sins and mine. Would you come tonight? as they continue playing, if God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. I know one thing that pushes me to live better, live my life better, is when I'm reminded of how much Jesus did for me. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And I want to thank you for listening tonight. I shouldn't be such a creature of habit, but I have a hard time if I have to use this microphone. And so I apologize for being, however, off the game a little bit, but trust the Lord in all those things. But what I would like to do is, if you're able to stay, we're 17 minutes after, we're going to show the missionary video of the Kellers going to Italy, and I trust to get you to know them a little bit better, and maybe you have some interest in getting to know them out in the lobby afterwards. But let's show this video, and then we'll let Brother Keller come back up and wrap it up in a few minutes and share a few more things if he'd like to.
What do you think of when you think of Italy? Beautiful, isn't it? The people in Italy have everything their bodies could need. Good food, beautiful architecture, government services. But who is looking out for their souls? If there were as many independent Baptist works per capita in the United States as there are in Italy, how many would there be in your state? At the time of the making of this video, in the country of Italy, there are only about 15 independent Baptist works of any kind that we can find. My name is Matthew, my wife's name is Andrea, and our son is Angus. We are the Kellers, sent out of Beth Haven Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. Our pastor is Dr. Rick Carter Jr.
Hi, I'm Pastor Rick Carter Jr. of Beth Haven Baptist Church. I'd like to recommend to you Matt and Andrea Keller for consideration for missionary support. Matt and Andrea have been faithful members of our church for a number of years. They've served in many different ministries. They've served in our church planting ministry through two church plants, doing many different aspects of the work involved there. They have a very firm grasp of what it takes to start a church. Likewise, they've served in every other ministry in our church, including teaching our college and career, serving in children's ministries, the singing ministries, and all the things that go on in a church. Their heart is very in tune to what God has in store for them. Not only have they been to Italy several times, but they've also spent a 3-month internship as part of their preparation. Their grasp on the language is beginning to take hold, and their understanding of the culture is very clear. Their intention to work with the Keister family as a team over in Italy will prove to be a great asset to both the Keisters and to the Kellers. And we hope that you will take consideration and prayer to support them in the work that God has called them to do and partner with us in sending them to Italy.
I have gone to church all my life, and for years I did not understand why I would need God's forgiveness. Praise God that He opened my eyes to my sinful condition, and I was gloriously saved on May 21st, 2006.
I was raised in a church planner's home and heard the gospel every day of my life. On August 1st, 1991, I realized I was a sinner in need of God's forgiveness, and on that day, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior.
It has always been my desire to teach the truth to those who need to hear. But in 2019, God made it abundantly clear that He wanted me to be a preacher of the gospel. After talking to my pastor, I enrolled in our church's seminary and took the classes that I was missing from training that I had done previously. As I was finishing up the courses of study, God revealed to me that He wanted me to carry the gospel to a foreign land. In the weeks that followed, God made it clear that He was calling us to the needy field of Italy, to stand in the gap and to proclaim the gospel whereby the people may be introduced to the one who can save their souls. As we ministered in Italy on our three-month internship, God impressed two things very clearly on my heart. The first is that He will always provide for His work. The second is the tremendous number of people living in so many of the cities and towns in Italy with no gospel witness at all. It is one thing to read about how many people and how few missionaries there are. It is quite another thing to see the rows upon rows of 4, 5, and 6-story apartment buildings that stretch on for mile after mile and knowing that there is no gospel witness anywhere close to them. God has called us to the country of Italy for a purpose. We are taking the light of the gospel back to this dark land. While we were on our internship, we started our language lessons, and I was even allowed to lead singing and to preach in Italian.
Giovanni, capitolo 3, da versetto 13 a versetto 15. E nessuna è salito in cielo.
Upon our return, our plan is to first evangelize, second to establish churches, third to see men called and trained to preach. Italy has just over 60 million souls. Catholics make up about 80% of the population, with Orthodox making up another 4.5%. Almost 12% claim to be non-religious. Back to the question I asked earlier. If there were the same number of churches per capita in the United States as in Italy, how many churches would there be in your state? There are approximately 4 million Italians for every missionary or independent Baptist work. My home state of Oklahoma would have almost enough people to have its own missionary, but we would have to share. There are not nearly enough missionaries in Italy. Will you consider partnering with us so that we can take the light of the gospel back to the dark land of Italy?
The morning front page headline reads, "Disaster strikes once more. The writing on the wall is much too great to be ignored. Floods and earthquakes everywhere. Violence plagues our land. The last days are upon us. Christ coming is at hand. Where would they be had Jesus come back 5 minutes ago? Would they still be here, alone and lost without hope? He will return as a thief in the night. Will they be taken or left behind? Where would they be had Jesus come back 5 minutes ago? This lost and dying world must face the judgment seat one day. They're weighing in the balance for the crimes that they must pay. Refusing to accept God's grace, how could they be so blind? The sands are quickly falling through the hourglass of time. Where would they be had Jesus come back 5 minutes ago? Would they me. Had Jesus come back 5 minutes ago.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to present the field here. And I know this church knows about missions. Y'all support a lot of missionaries. I want to thank y'all for that. Y'all been a great blessing to us because we've been able to park our RV out here and utilize your hookups. That has been a huge blessing. We want to thank y'all for that. And thank y'all for allowing us to come and present the work for you. Told you earlier where we came from. Our plan is to go to Italy, preach the gospel, see people saved, a church established, then see men called and trained to preach and sent out to start other churches. We want to go to start a church that starts churches that start churches, because that's the way that Italy will be reached. What we need from you is for you to pray that God will send laborers. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, Jesus said, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We need more missionaries to go to Italy, but we need Italian men called and trained and starting churches in their own country. We need you all to pray for us. Pray for Italy. And pray to see what God would have you do, both here and around the world.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Keller. We appreciate that. And it's a joy to get to be around folks like this. And we're thankful that the Lord has moved upon their heart to leave home and leave here. We've got a wonderful mission program, and we'll be getting back to you later about these, but we're thankful that God has put it on these people's hearts. So I want, as they leave, I'd love for you to take some prayer cards. Like I said, the Kellers, their whole family is on there. Then Angus has got one. Don't forget him. Did you notice their tactic there? They're using him to pass out gospel. Who's going to turn away from him? I'm sure some of them did, but no offense, but a lot less likely from Angus than his big ugly dad, you know? I mean, it's a whole lot easier to take it from a little cute kid. So thank God for that. And thank God for getting them involved in missions at a young age and getting the gospel out. So I don't know if she'd put it like it. The world is putting so much wickedness in the activities of our children that we certainly should support our families when they teach their children the responsibility to get that gospel message out. So thank you, Brother Keller. I'm going to ask you all to slip out to your table and be there so that as folks come by, they can get to know you and fellowship with you on their way out. And then, of course, don't forget to pray as we go throughout the week, to be praying for Brother Buddy Callahan down in Yap, working down there at the Christian school and building, and then that great ministry that he's helping out with. Don't forget to pray for Maddie Brown in South Africa, that the Lord would keep her safe and protect her, and keep Victoria Radford in your prayers, and Burkina Faso, that God would continue to keep her protected and finish out her mission internship. And then I forgot to mention, but continue to pray for Brother Paul Pritchard as he recovers after that knee surgery, and we want to keep him lifted up in prayer. And then it's good to see Brother Butch Abbott. As I'm on the roll here, he's not a very faithful church member because he leaves about every chance he can to go preach at another church. And if you don't know him, he's a missionary out of our church, and so he's usually oftentimes out and about. But we thank God for his faithfulness, and of course praying for Brother Graham Foran down in Brazil and others. But these want to keep our prayer life hot for these folks that are out serving the Lord, and also be praying for the Kellers. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being in church this evening. What a joy it is. And trust that you'll get by and get a prayer card and have a wonderful, wonderful time together. Brother Dan, would we come and sing one going home song? Let's sing "What a Day That Will Be." And we sang it at the last song we sang corporately. Let's sing that first verse in the chorus, and that'll be our going home song.
There is time.